we got to get your thoughts on the Toronto Maple Leafs up here and their season so far and what you think of that team in general. They're a pretty polarizing team around the league. You either kind of believe or you don't.
Yeah, you know what? And I think all of their games so far, half the game they've looked like the greatest team on earth, and the other half they look like they're not interested. But when they turn it on, I mean, they're a pretty potent team. I thought last night after the first 10 minutes, I mean, they were all over the Rangers for most of the game. But it's interesting is that because of the guys they picked up, I've had them all. I've had Nick Ritchie. I've had Kase. You know, when they had Curtis Gabriel at the beginning, I had him too. So, I mean, it was I knew these players that they had gotten, and I didn't know if my biggest question was whether Nick Ritchie could do what Hyman was doing, and that jury is still out for me.
I think foot speed's an issue here. I was just talking about the edge work of those guys, two of the best in the world, and for Nick, it's just about reading and reacting. And I said earlier in the show, Gabby, that there has to be a way to be in a position to help, support, giving goes. It's just not about hanging out in front of the net.
No, I mean, he's got good hockey sense. He's good with the puck, but his foot speed has been a problem. When I had him in Anaheim, he was very young, and he got in a lot better shape when he played in Boston. But my only question is, why would Boston not want him? If he was, you know, going to be this good. I mean, I like Nick, but that's the question that keeps coming back in my mind. Why wouldn't you make him an offer? And so, I mean, I think Hyman was really much better fitted in a puzzle to that team. But I hope Nick does real well because, you know, he's got a good shot, a nose for the net. But you're 100% correct. His foot speed is not what it looks like the rest of the Leafs have.
I want to move on, but I one more on Nick Ritchie. Is it hard to light a fire under him because he is a big, strong guy? And first and foremost, I got to think, you got to show that you're a physical presence out there. That has to be the main reason why Boston let him go.
It might be like he's tough. If he gets in a fight, he is really good, but he's such a laid back guy. You never see much emotion on his face. From what, you know, if you've watched the games and that's the one thing I would have liked to seen, that little bit of fire, and hopefully he can get it somewhere. Because if he gets that fire, it can make up for his foot speed and he could become a real valuable player to that team.
What are your thoughts on the superstar situation here in Toronto with Mitch Marner kind of, you know, he's got an assist through four games. You know, obviously Austin Matthews is going to make a big difference there, but him and Tavares, Marner and Tavares are off to really slow starts. Is it, you know, Keefe is in the news giving him some props today and trying to make him feel good about himself. How would you handle what Mitch Marner's going through here in Toronto?
Well, I would just do what I see on TV. He's getting chances like galore. He's missed them all, but he's involved in, I'll bet you if they did the stats on involved in scoring chances, he's involved in all of them. And as Nick knows, you know, when we're growing up and we're playing and your dad is sitting there and you're saying, how am I doing, Dad? And he's saying, well, you're getting chances to score. Say yes, well, you don't worry about it. But it's when he doesn't get the chances that you start to worry about him a little bit. But I still think he overpasses a little bit, but he's involved in everything. I'm not too worried about Mitch. You know, he's going to come up in three games. He'll get 8 points and he'll be back to normal, but he's getting the chances. And so I wouldn't worry about it too much about him.
Justin just mentioned that Sheldon Keefe was on air. Maybe just trying to reassure that what you're saying about the chances and he's happy and all of that. How hard is it, Gabby, for a head coach to weigh in on what maybe one of your star players may need or not need? Was it ever a situation for you in Washington, say with Ovi, where he's going through a little bit of a phase? What do I do? Do I talk to him? Do I not? Do I publicly say anything? Is it Is it a tough decision where you need to be for your star to kind of help him?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, Sheldon knows Mitch as well as anybody. And, you know, Ovi didn't go through too many slumps. But when things weren't going well for him or whatever, I just had to talk to him. I'd have a talk with him, and I'd bring him in, and I'd show him positive clips, and I'd say, just keep doing this. Look, you're getting close. You're right there on the edge. You're going to break through, and things are going to go well, so stay positive and keep doing the things you're doing. I think positive reinforcement to the players, especially the star players, because they get down on themselves in a hurry when they don't start scoring, is really important. And I think Sheldon's doing the right thing by being positive with them. And I'm sure their video coach is showing them clips to not get down, because, I mean, it's easy to get down in this league, but it's important that they stay positive, because they're your best players. You're going to need them when push comes to shove almost every night.
So, Bruce, when you have Ovi and he's the guy in your power play taking one-timers, everyone knows that shot is coming. You guys were able to work it in a way that he still got those shots and he still scored over and over. The next guy who's got the best shot in hockey right now is Austin Matthews. And the Toronto Maple Leafs power play is not what the Washington Capitals power play was. How do they open up Matthews? How do they open up space? How do they do what the Capitals did, where people know where the puck is going, but still opening up spots to be able to use it?
You know, it's interesting, because I think the Leafs have great personnel on the power play, where they don't need to completely put the spotlight on Austin. I mean, he could bump it to Mitch in the middle. He could go down low to Tavares and across to his name. They've got all the options.
Yeah.
Nylander is what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
I get him mixed up with Niederreiter, because I had Niederreiter and Nylander. So anyway, so that's what I didn't want to say the wrong name. But anyway, they've got all these options to use them. And so they don't have to focus on Austin Matthews. Like when Nick Backstrom has the puck on the sidewall. I mean, Carlson's got the shot. Like Morgan Riley's got a good shot. You could have gone down low, or you've got Oshie in the middle. So you can't completely, if you focus totally on Ovi, that somebody else was open. And I think it's the same case here. If they're going to focus on Austin at the half wall, something has got to be open. They just got to be able to pick the right option, and they got to move the puck quick. And that's and I love where Austin's playing on that side, because you got a left-handed guy passing to a left-handed guy. It's really difficult if it's the other way around, because you don't get it in the wheelhouse. And it was his first game, but I think you're going to be able to see some one-timers on that side that he's going to be able to open up the play an awful lot.
Hey, Gabby, we dissected to death this documentary they did on the Toronto Maple Leafs called All or Nothing. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch it. Hell, I don't even know if you watched your own. What was that a few years ago? You did one for leading up to the outdoor game. Maybe it was HBO or whatnot.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, just your overall experience in that, and whether or not that was truly fun for you or a pain in the ass.
You know, at the beginning, it was really worrisome, but the HBO folks for me were great. They had just finished doing, I think, Hard Knocks with the Jets, and they'd gone through it with teams. And so they knew what they were doing, and like they knew what to edit. Like my biggest fear, because they put the microphone on at 6:30 in the morning and wouldn't take it off till you went home at night. And we were told to let them have full access to everything. So as you know, sometimes it slips when you're talking privately with your coaches, and you worry whether they're going to put that in and then we're done. And they didn't. They were really respectful, and so I didn't have a problem, because they were really, really nice to us, and they were honest to us. I mean, the biggest thing that I got out of it is I swore 42 times in 20 seconds, one episode. And that seemed to be the thing that everybody talked about. But I didn't have a problem once it started. I was worried about it, But once it got going, it was okay.
Really helped you be the star that you are today on TV.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's all they need is a fat, bald star. I love it.
did you have any sort of editorial ability? Like, we've had that debate on the show. How much did the Leafs have the final say of saying, yeah, we want that in or we
all
don't?
All of it.
All of it, you think? How about you, Bruce?
I think the Leafs might have had say. We had no say. I mean, George McPhee said, they've got full access. They wanted this thing really done right. As a matter of fact, I think HBO stopped it. When the Leafs played Detroit, because the Leafs and Detroit didn't give them full access. Babs and Randy Carlyle were very private about what they saw, and it didn't make for good TV. What we did, I guess, with the full access made it really good, really captivating for TV. Like, I remember the one time I came in after the night where I sort of lost it, and I asked our team services guy, hey, did I do any swearing on the show? And he just had to turn around and laugh because it was all about me swearing. And but, you know, I mean, people know that sometimes I have a potty mouth, so it's okay.
Yeah, it's only natural. The one thing watching you with those Washington Capitals teams, every time I see Ovi and what he's doing, I can't help but think of, you know, the influence you had there. What are your thoughts on where Ovechkin is at in his career and what he still seems to be able to do? Do you think this can continue?
You know what? Knowing him and knowing he's going to make every effort to continue, the one thing that he's not going to lose, and I haven't seen him lose it yet, is his ability to shoot the puck. And when he gets the shot on net, it goes in. It either hits you or it goes in. He's got an incredible release. He's got an incredible, when they do the hardest shots, it's not that hard because it's not his slap shot that it's so difficult, but his wrist shot is so dynamic that as long as he's got that, he's going to be able to score. And the other thing that Alex has is he's got such a great offensive hockey IQ. He knows when to jump in. He knows where to go into spots. Example, his first goal of the year, if you remember, is on the power play. He's not staying at the dot. He sees the puck moving, mm-hmm. and he's going right to the far post, and it comes to him, and he puts it in. And so as long as he's got those instincts, I think he's gonna get the opportunity to score 30-plus goals a year if he stays healthy. And if he does that, even if he doesn't do it in 5 years, he'll stay until he gets it done.
Those instincts might be some of the best in NHL history because there are some shifts I don't think he takes 10 strides. It's like, it is unbelievable some shifts where he just doesn't move.
You're telling me? he used to be the star of the video more often. And I hated doing it, but I said, if I don't show his lack of back-checking skills, then the other players are going to get upset. So he would sit down, and I'd tell him beforehand, I said, Alex, don't get mad at me, but you're the star again. And when he lifts up, and if you ever watch him, if he gets straight, and then that means, hey, boys, you're on your own. I'm just coming back when I come back.
There's a famous clip of Ovi, the controller disconnected, where he just like stands up, you know, as you're mentioning, and just kind of coasts his way back. It has become a feature of his back check. So I'm sure you had to deal with that many times. Go ahead, Kipper.
I was just going to say, I did worry a little bit, no Backstrom to start this season. And I guess to your point, if you can shoot the puck, then it doesn't really matter who your centerman is.
Well, yeah, you know what, and I think Kuznetsov got a real wake-up call last year because he was so bad. And he, you know, with Nick out, now he's getting first-line minutes, first-time ice time. I think he's trying to take advantage of it. So, and he's a really skilled player when he wants to be. But, again, that power play, as long as he's got Carlson on the point, right-hander to right-hander, feeding him the puck, he's going to always be really good.
What do you think of their contracts, Bruce? Was it $9.5 million for another 5 years or something? Is that going to be good value on those?
You know what? For Alex, he sells $9.5 million in merchandise every year. And if he ever gets close to the record, you're going to see like that money will look like nothing compared to what he's going to be bringing into the Caps organization. So, I mean, I think, you know, and who's to say, looking at for 13 years, whether he was actually underpaid at $10 million for what he did for that organization, because there was, before he came there, they were averaging about 6,000 people a game. Now the Washington Capitals are as big as any team in the D.C. area, and he's as well known as any athlete in that area. So I think he's well worth the money.
Need an objective answer to this, not like super fan Sammy here. Can Washington still win a Stanley Cup here, or is this going to be an OV situation where they're still just not enough? I thought they were going to be that team last year. They didn't come close.
No, you know what? I was talking to somebody about that today, and I think the window is closing, but I think this year they've still got the ability to do it. But after this year, if you look at their age of their players, they're getting pretty old. I mean, I think the Hershey Bears are a great team, and I think they're starting to bring influx of young players into the organization again. But I think the window has got this year and at the most next year. But if I think after that, they're going to have to make sure that they get some good young players in to refill the holes that they're going to leave behind.
All right, so what I got out of this interview is the window's closing for the Washington Capitals and Gord Stellick in the next few years.
No, Gord, as long as he keeps eating at the rate he's doing, he'll go on forever.
All right.
I love him, though.
We love him. No. Love isn't a big enough word for Gord Stellick.
Yeah. Get him out here to defend himself.
All right.
Well, you know what? I'll end up arguing with him on Thursday mornings, but I mean, we have a great time. I think he's the best, but he is the only GM that I love that cut me and didn't rehire me, but that's okay.